Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Alan Chartok. Thursday, August 14th at 4 p.m., the Berkshire Theater Festival, in partnership with Chesterwood, will present Lincoln's Favorite Shakespeare, an afternoon reading of President Abraham Lincoln's favorite writings by Shakespeare. The reading will take place at Berkshire Theater Group's Fitzpatrick Main Stage in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, and will be followed by a reception at Chesterwood. A quartet of noted actors, Kathleen Chalfant, Chris Noth, John Douglas Thompson, and Fritz Weaver, are donating their performances to the event, which has been assembled and annotated by noted scholar Harold Holzer, author and editor of over 40 books about Lincoln and widely known as the Lincoln Scholar. Harold Holzer joins us now. Harold, old friend, welcome.
Great to be back. What took you so long to ask me? But here I am.
Shakespeare and Lincoln, what's that about?
One of the first primers he had when he was a boy was a book about how to give orations, and the orations were mostly soliloquies from Shakespeare. He fell in love with the language. He fell in love with Shakespeare. He read amazingly into the Shakespeare canon. And once he got to Washington, as avidly as President Obama plays golf, he went to the theater to see Shakespeare performances. Tragedies, histories, not comedies so much, but the tragedies and the histories. And he felt it relaxed him, and it gave him insights into leadership and the dangers of not acting quickly or decisively enough, Hamlet, or of being too decisive, Macbeth, and what happened. So he absolutely adored it, and he recited Shakespeare to people, whether they liked it or not, you know, on shipboard, at late at night at his country residence. So these are all authentic. What we're going to perform is all the soliloquies that he heard or recited himself or had opinions about, saw great actors perform.
Nobody knows Lincoln better than you do. It has been said of him that he was a depressive. Was he?
I always say that if you're not melancholy about 750,000 deaths on your watch, the equivalent of, you know, as much as we abhor violence that keeps unfolding on our television screens, all over the Ukraine and the Middle East and Afghanistan, Iraq, we're talking about 750,000, which is the equivalent of 11 million Americans today in terms of our population.
Yeah, but
and if that doesn't make you melancholy, you're not human. And I think that's one of the reasons why he turned to God and he turned to Shakespeare as guidance, because he couldn't deal with it.
Interesting. He also had a marriage which was taxing.
It was Shakespearean. Maybe he was married to Lady Macbeth, for all we know. It was taxing. And also, remember, Abraham Lincoln imposed the first income tax. So it should have been taxing. I mean, look, she was a very smart, opinionated woman. I think, you know, she was ahead of her time, and she was not content to just be a social hostess, although that meant a lot to her. She was a, you know, active political person. You know, her role in the 13th Amendment process that Spielberg's Lincoln dealt with has been, she wasn't just sitting in the balcony with a pencil counting votes. In fact, she never sat in the balcony.
Was she
counting
nuts?
Votes. Compared to whom?
Me.
Was she certifiable? No. Was she neurotic? Yeah. Did she have moments when she nearly lost it, when her son died in the White House?
Yeah. And which of us?
Yeah. But I think she was smart and recovered enough before he was shot, which definitely sent her over the edge, to be a major player that I think has not been recognized in getting that, you know, her friends in the progressive movement to understand why Lincoln wanted the vote to happen quickly.
So do you think in Lincoln,
there was always Shakespeare, and she went to a lot of the plays with him, and not all of them.
You know, sometimes if you go to a really depressing movie or a heavy play, a Shakespearean play in which people, you know, really destroy themselves, destroy others, your load gets lightened a little bit.
No, I think there's a lot to be said for that. He considered himself a really well-informed amateur student of Shakespeare. So here's what he did one day. He had a guy into the White House named James Hackett. He was a great Shakespearean actor, and he performed some scenes. Lincoln wrote him a letter saying, you know, I know most people like Hamlet, and I think nothing equals Macbeth. And in Hamlet, I prefer the soliloquy that starts, "Oh, that this poor, poor solid flesh would melt. I like that better than to be or not to be." So Hackett goes back to New York. He's so excited about having a letter from the president that he publishes it as a pamphlet. The president's letter to Mr. Hackett. Well, the press get hold of it, and they say, well, Mr. Lincoln doesn't seem to be an expert on war. He doesn't seem to be an expert on the Constitution, but it's good to know that he's an expert on Shakespeare. It just humiliates him. So he sends another letter to Hackett saying, oh, Hackett apologizes, and he says, you know, I've never been entirely free of ridicule in my career. Don't worry about it. Well, he wanted to get his story out on how much he knew.
You, of course, have coming out with a major new book, The War for Public Opinion, and Lincoln and the Power of the Press. So tell us about how much has changed since Lincoln, you know, had to put up with the press. You've just made a pretty good example of it, to the present day.
I think we're almost back to that day completely. The major difference is, you ask me what's changed. If you turn on Fox and you get the gospel from Fox News, they never say that they are representing a faction or a party. They are just telling the truth. If you turn on MSNBC and listen to Rachel Maddow, she doesn't say that she is an Obama supporter or a Hillary or Elizabeth Warren supporter. She's telling the truth. At least in the 1860s, when the press was even more venomous about opponents, they said, we're representing the Republicans. They were owned and operated by Republican politicians, or Republican politicians bought newspapers. And the same with the Democrats. So it was much more open and understood that the press was partisan. It made it wildly popular. But today we hide from the partisan part. Oh, we're not partisan. We're just telling the truth.
Right. So
present company definitely excluded.
Without question.
TV stuff.
Now, you know, here's Lincoln reciting Shakespeare. But, you know, I read somewhere, I don't know where, that Lincoln had a high-pitched, squeaky voice. Is that true?
I think Daniel Day-Lewis got it right. I think he had a high voice, but I think it was a resonant voice. Look, if you were a politician without a voice, you couldn't be a politician. You had to go be a backroom guy or become a blacksmith, which Lincoln briefly thought about. But, I mean, Bill Clinton could never have been a 19th-century politician. He doesn't have the lung power or the voice box. Obama, maybe. Bush, no. You know, just go through Kennedy, yes. I think Lincoln had a Kennedy-esque voice, you know, very high but piercing, because he had to speak to crowds of 15,000 or 20,000 when he gave his second inaugural. And, you know, not everybody heard him, but it was high, but, you know, good Pavarotti tenor, I think. You know, we have a range of voices in our program. Chris Noth, who everybody knows from Sex and the City, hasn't done Shakespeare since he went to Yale. And did Hamlet, but he's excited about doing this. He's one of our big stars doing this. And Fritz Weaver, who's in his 80s, has done Shakespeare all his life, and unbelievable. And, you know, he's been Hamlet, King Lear, he's been Macbeth, he's been all of these things. And even though he's most famous as being Dr. Weiss in Holocaust, in that miniseries that we remember from 30 years ago. So it's great. It's going to be fun.
So I want to mention that again, that this is going to be Thursday, August 14th at 4 p.m., the Berkshire Theater Festival, in partnership with Chesterwood, of course, where the great Lincoln model stands. We'll present Lincoln's favorite Shakespeare, an afternoon reading of President Abraham Lincoln's favorite writings by Shakespeare. The reading will take place at Berkshire Theater Group's Fitzpatrick Main Stage in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Will be followed by a reception at Chesterwood. And the actors, unbelievably, are Kathleen Chalfant, Chris Noth, John Douglas Thompson, and Fritz Weaver. Boy, I'll tell you, those seats, if they're not all gone already, they're going to go real quickly. We do, and my favorite person, of course, in the world, other than my own wife, is Kate McGuire.
Kate McGuire is unbelievable.
The lady
really,
who runs it all. She's great.
Yeah, and she is throwing open the main stage. And I mean, I think we'll imagine Lincoln again and hear the words that really moved him. And I tell... Of course, I wrote the script, so I get to be on stage, and I wrote myself a very nice part.
Well, that's good. You should.
And I get to narrate and say, you know, Lincoln was here when he heard this, or Lincoln read this on a ship, or Lincoln read this to his secretary at 11 o'clock and stopped in the middle and said, "You seem to be nodding off. Go to bed."
When did you fall in love with Lincoln?
Fifth grade.
Really? How did it
happen?
Do
I have to say what year?
Yeah, but do you remember?
I picked a name out of a hat that the teacher brought in, filled with names of all dead white men. This was Queens, New York in the 50s, late 50s. And I picked Lincoln and found the right book at the right time and was just, that was it.
And that was it.
I thank that teacher every day. Whenever I speak to teachers, I say, you don't know how many students you guys influence. It's always a great teacher that gives you a,
sure.
hopefully, that gives you an inspiration.
It must be heady to be referred to as the Lincoln scholar. Which
well, not
are.
Everybody does it. I like when you do it.
Well, no, it's true. Of course it's true. You've written all of these books. You've had a full-time job in addition. And yet, when you say Lincoln, people say Holzer. So
you're very kind.
Not at all. You do love him, don't you?
I do. I mean, I find, you know, more nuances to be observant about, and don't want to preempt the new book, but he was pretty tough on the press, and we have modern politicians to compare him to, and sometimes they don't talk to the press, sometimes they don't hold press conferences, but with Lincoln, it was a whole other
and he didn't
control
mind.
Thing.
And he didn't mind. He didn't mind taking them on, yes?
Taking them on,
publicly.
Making them irrelevant, controlling them, writing editorials, or closing them down.
How did he close them down?
So, famously in New York City, he issued a presidential order closing down two newspapers that published a proclamation that he hadn't written and credited it to him.
Wow. And did they take it lying down?
And they did not, because they claimed they were duped. And they, no, but he did it. It was one of, I'm guessing, 300 newspapers that was shut down during the Civil War.
There's an old adage that, you know, you don't get into a certain kind of match with people who own, you know, the press. Did he lose that fight or did he win it in the court of public opinion?
He won it in the court of public opinion that was controlled by Republican newspapers. If you look at both sets of papers throughout the war, there's two different drafts of Civil War history. One about a glorious fight for freedom and the preservation of American democracy and freedom of choice, and the other, a usurpacious exercise by a dictator, a Caesar, who was abrogating the Constitution and giving rights to hated African Americans who are going to flood your community and take your jobs. That was the struggle. He fought for the middle because that was the extreme positions, but it's amazing if you read those papers to see the two different histories.
We see a friend, Andrew Cuomo, recently took on the New York Times and said facts matter. They should matter even in the New York Times, something like that. Was that a mistake?
I don't think newspapers matter as much as they did, with all due respect to Mr. Sulzberger and the Times, which I have very good relations with on behalf of the Met, which I represent. But I think it's a whole different story. I think the press is more fractious or fractured now than it was then. And
yeah, but the
we
Times.
Don't know whether a blog means more than a newspaper article. I will say that Lincoln had it right. He made the publisher of the New York Times his campaign chairman when he ran for re-election. That's the way to do it. That's, you know, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. I wanted you to have me on when the book comes out.
We're going to have you for an hour when the book comes out.
Wow.
You and I are going to talk for a whole hour about Lincoln and the power of the press, the book that will be coming out shortly, and I can't wait for that hour.
Thanks,
Harold Holzer. And thank you for being with us again. Lincoln's Favorite Shakespeare will take place Thursday, August 14th at 4 p.m. at the Fitzpatrick Main Stage of the Berkshire Theater Group in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, with a reception at Chesterwood to follow. For more information, visit berkshiretheatergroup.org. We've been joined by the Lincoln scholar, Harold Holzer. Harold, thank you for joining us today. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.